I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they sink sardines. Will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
All good?
Good to go.
Yeah,
good to go.
All good in the hood.
Yeah, good to be back.
Good in the hood.
This is the hood.
For me, this is the hood. All good in the hood is a statement you say, like, everything is okay in our neighborhood.
All good in the hood.
Dickie boy.
Yeah,
I think short for neighborhood.
I think of my hood is. Yeah. I think my hood is very good.
Yeah, your hood very good.
Exactly. And Nuken in the Kuken.
You guys
can't
say
that.
You can't say that.
Yeah, you can. It's just a description. It's an act. It is sex in the kitchen.
You're joking.
Nuken in the Kuken.
It's more harsh. It's the F word.
Is it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Ah, right. Well, yeah. Okay. well, you and Rudolph never told us that bit.
we already come with a warning about language for underage listeners. So I think we've just probably gone red.
No, only in Holland.
Probably only in Holland. Yeah.
Anyway, wherever in the world you are, I say this every week. Well, apart from last week when, of course, we weren't here.
No.
Whatever time zone you're in, a very warm welcome to you. Now that you've found us, please spread the joyous news. Tell your friends that this is... What are you laughing at?
You can't use the word joyous.
Of course you can.
I've been at church. It's the only time you hear that word.
This is by the way,
this is a pulpit.
This is a church.
This is a pulpit.
Very much.
Which day? Oh, no. I thought it was a Sunday as well. That made it even more.
Tell your mates that we are here. There's a whole raft of really good previous podcasts that we've put together. Some fabulous guests. Martin O'Neill, Patrick Cliver, Gianfranco Zola, David Platt.
To name but a few, and a fantastic one coming up today.
Oh yes, you won't want to miss this. John Terry,
yes.
Former England captain.
Fantastic.
Captain, leader, legend, who very nearly was a teammate of yours.
Mm-hmm. Very close, huh?
You tried hard, eh?
We tried hard.
Do you mean they started destabilising players way back then, City?
Oh, yes.
It didn't work out, though, for JT.
But it was the replacement wasn't bad.
The replacement was fantastic. I mean, Vincent Kompany instead of John Terry.
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah. Anyway, have a listen. My name is Richard Keys. Do things.
My name is Andy Gray.
And my name is Nigel de Jong, a.k.a.
DJ.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you missed us?
I missed you guys, for sure.
You've been in Qatar whilst Andrew and I were elsewhere in the world.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my kids had to go to school. So I was mixed up with the timings on their break. Our break, football break.
Yeah, but so, you've had enough breaks, really.
You've got one next month. Yeah. Another one.
Yeah, another one, unfortunately.
I'm not happy with this. By the way, these... I know I don't like Wenger's idea. That's for another day, right? But I don't like this idea of that we're now nearly coming up to the end of November and the season will just have started.
Yeah.
Once we have all these breaks.
You see, I do like Wenger's idea, as you know. I like the fact that we could have a month out and get all the international football
That's
played.
Different.
And
see, Gareth Southgate was anti that.
Well, everybody is anti. Everybody was anti a Premier League. Any time that people talk about change... Anyone that disagrees is widely quoted.
No.
If we hadn't had change, we wouldn't be playing football under floodlights. We wouldn't be playing Sunday football, which one time in England we were not able to do.
Not the issue.
We wouldn't be playing European
not
football.
The issue.
It is the
doesn't,
issue.
Doesn't,
we have
no.
to evolve. And if we don't evolve, we die.
By having a World Cup every 2 years?
Yes.
No,
if
well,
required,
as I say to you, make it every year then.
Well, and as I said to you, we both, and Nigel, I think you've played in it, we've both agreed that the Champions League has got a bigger variety of world-class talent available, and we play that every year.
Oh,
so
yeah, and the same teams every year.
every 2 years. Why not?
No.
Just because it was played once every 4 years to fit in with the Olympics when travel around the world was an impossibility. Now, I said to you the other week,
I haven't read too many players that want a World Cup every 2 years,
because they haven't thought it through.
There they have. They're talking about getting a rest. Who was it that came out? Was it Thibaut Courtois?
About the UEFA. No, it was about the Nations League.
Yeah, but it was about playing too much now.
Yeah, playing too much.
And playing every other year.
What would be the reason then for us to say, okay, listen, this might be the next solution. The next solution in order to get these games, these unnecessary games away, the Nations League, for example.
Well, I don't mind the qualifying, Nigel. I don't mind Arsene's idea of compressing the qualifying matches. Like,
so
instead of three breaks like we've had now, playing all the matches in October. Now, I understand Gareth Southgate saying, well, hold on a minute. If we've got a very important player and he's got a tight hamstring, or he's pulled his hamstring, he could be out for that whole month and miss 6 to 8 qualifying matches.
Dear. So you've got the pick of the vast array of talent that Gareth Southgate has available to him, and he might miss, a Jack Grealish, who he doesn't play anyway? Come on. Next year, we're going to have a Nations League series through the summer.
No, that's rubbish. I'm not
exactly
for that.
Exactly. So replace that nonsense with something that matters.
No, but then we'll have a World Cup 1 year, Euros 1 year.
Why
World
not?
Cup, Euros,
What's
World Cup, Euros.
What's the problem with that?
Because it's unsustainable for
it's
the players.
Not.
Yes, it is.
Andy, you
we
say
already
that.
Talk about no rest, Richard. We already talk about players being overworked.
They will be playing next year at that time, but Nations League football.
No, they'll be playing in games where they're going to earn money for their clubs and playing.
No.
And tin pot.
The Nations League starts
again
next summer.
There's no intensity. It doesn't really matter. They can have rest. If they don't want to go and play, they don't have to go and play. But what I'm saying to you is, we'll end up with a Euros. I'm telling you now, we'll end up with a Euros 1 year, a World Cup the next year, Euros next year.
I don't have a problem
World
with
Cup.
That.
I would.
I think it's a great idea. I would rather watch that than I would Nations League football.
No, I'd rather have a break.
But you're not
now and again.
You're not,
and I think the players would
players
rather have
get
a break.
Is it 28 days that they are?
28 days. Wow.
That's now.
Month. Wow. 28 days.
That's 29. Now.
Well, even less.
So no, it wouldn't be.
Of
it would be.
Would.
It would be more because the nonsense that goes with playing through the summer and these daft games
the summer,
would be replaced.
Anyway,
I think the problem is the tournaments. I think really the problem is the unnecessary games that have been playing. You know, throughout the year. You know the Nations League, all the qualifiers.
You know,
all the friendlies and all the tournaments. Look at that. Like even when I played for the national team, at the end of my year, domestic year, I had to fly out with the national team to whatever country it was for a necessary tournament for 10, 12
days.
It took 10. No, I had to go because the national team
told you to go.
So it takes 10 or 12 days of my actual holiday. You understand?
Exactly.
So that's what I said. It's not about the tournament. Yes, we can all discuss about that. But I think the main thing is to get all these unnecessary friendlies, Nations League games out of the way in order to give the players rest.
You know the World Cup next year? Do you know how you qualify for it?
How you qualify for?
I don't. I seriously don't. Because sitting around there, somebody was talking about, they've qualified through... Is it the Nations League or something like that?
Yeah.
In Europe, or just in general?
European qualification for the World Cup. It's not like you just go in your group and you just play it.
So
and then that's
what
it.
We do is we have a clean month, a start and a finish, and then we have a proper tournament that matters and that we're geared up to play in and enjoy.
It won't matter as much, Keezy. It won't matter.
But you say that. How come it won't matter when we play the Champions League every year?
It won't matter as much because it's a country you're talking about. We're talking about a country. We're not talking about your club, right? We're talking about a country. Mm. You're talking about the nation getting together. And most fans are happy with limited international football. I talk to all my family back home and who are big football fans, and my wife's family, and they hate European. They hate international breaks.
Exactly.
They hate them.
Agreed.
Because they want to see their club play.
Yes.
So don't fill them full of more internationals.
No.
And don't make the World Cup water it down
one
by
month.
Making it
every start year, to finish.
Just so we can get players into it.
Gareth, nonsense. There's your players. Get
what makes it
them.
Special for him is it only comes along once every 4 years. That makes it special. And if it isn't for money, and if it's for some other reason, somebody tell me, because it is for money.
It is player well-being.
What?
Yes.
So we don't give them a rest then,
no,
ever?
No, you see that...
Oh, 28 days we'll give them.
But that's now we give them 28 days. That's now.
So
that's
how
all they get.
How much are you giving them then?
Well, if you have a tournament that matters during a period of the summer, probably played inside a month, as the next World Cup will be, you take the rest of the time off.
What
and
time?
That is allotted to you.
Right, okay, we've got to get prepared. So they'll need 2 weeks preparation before the tournament starts. So they'll get a couple of weeks off. So I'll take them to the end of May, 2 weeks, middle of June, play the tournament, middle
you've
of
got
July.
Depends, and it
then
depends
you get
also how
July,
far.
Then you get 2 weeks
no.
off where you come back.
It depends how far you go as well as a nation. Yeah, yeah? It depends if you reach
anyway,
the next stage.
Do you know what I wanted to ask you two about? Because I was listening to it this morning. No, seriously. That's my ears. Honestly, I thought we were hearing things, Nigel.
Right.
You and I have both played. You and I have both played, and Keyes has been involved in football for longer than any of us, right? What I was listening to this morning was a young, current, professional footballer playing at one of the country's top teams.
Yes,
who said, "There, I don't watch football." The guy said, "When you go home, what do you do?" He says, "What, you never watch football on your telly? You never watch any game?" No. When I leave the training ground or I leave on a Saturday, I never watch football. How can a professional, young professional, educate himself if he doesn't watch the game, Nige? I'm sorry, am I wrong? Did you ever watch football?
I always watch football, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Surely you can learn by watching a game. Yeah. Look at the games we've just seen recently. Those I don't even know what tournament they were in. Belgium and France,
Nation League,
whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of the best games we've seen for some time.
Rubbish tournament.
Mm-hmm. No, it is, but it was a couple of the best games we've seen. Mm-hmm. Imagine a player saying, "I never watched that."
Mm-hmm. But you must have played with them. It's not a modern phenomenon. Well, I think it's one of the things that made our success at Sky possible. The fact that we had, all of us, a love of football.
Well, in my time, when I was playing, there was another player, Esu Bokoto, what's his name? The French left back from Tottenham.
Esu Okoto.
He was another one who said,
Don't talk to us about him.
No, but I'm just saying, there are players that never watch football and they're trying to switch off.
Okay, other broadcasters during the time when we were working in the UK were not, and they're still earning a good living from the game, earned a very good living when they played it.
Yeah.
They don't watch it. They don't enjoy it. They didn't like it. They'd rather play golf, some of them. Big Jocky Hansen was a scratch golfer and would rather have been on a golf course than watching a football match.
I mean, I get
and he wasn't alone
retired.
At the BBC.
That,
there are others
retired.
There now.
I get that. But that's less as important. But, I mean, this guy, in fact, I'm going to tell you, it was Benjamin White, as I've just found out. You can't call him Ben White. He wants to be called Benjamin White, okay? The Arsenal centre-back. Who they've just
Benjamin
spent 50
White.
Million on.
Right?
50 million, Nigel. And he never watches football.
He's not alone.
He's a centre-back. Surely by watching football, he could pick up something he sees about people he might be playing against or this, that and the other about certain teams. Mm. I agree with you. I might be wrong, Nigel.
But I nearly fell
off my seat when he said that. I don't watch football.
Plainly.
No, that is definitely you know, that's your opinion and that is your statement. I feel the same way.
By the way,
he's absolutely right. I'm sitting here at this table saying as well, as a football lover, as a love of the game, even though I've played or retired right now, you know, I was always watching games, watching players, how they move around left and right, knowing that I had to watch a certain game because I knew the opponent I will be facing the week after. It's just about that, you know. It's about get as much information. But nowadays,
it's interesting you should bring that up, because
nowadays throughout the social media and whatever, you don't even have to watch games anymore because you get so much information in space of
I'll
2 minutes.
I'll tell you why you don't have to watch games anymore. Isn't this strange? Daily Telegraph today, soccer bots are coming. Norwich City have installed a soccer bot, £750,000.
Talking about robots, yeah?
Yes.
Robots play soccer.
What position does he play?
Well
on the five
it's
and a half
the position.
I hope they bought a striker.
The SoccerBot 360 system is designed to help a club stay ahead of the curve when it comes to innovation, data, and player development. So what you've got here, actually, is, if I can find the correct paragraph, 8-foot screens, and you stand in the middle of these, and real time, they can put you back into the positions that you were in last week when you played a football match, so you can learn from mistakes you made there. Or if, for instance, you want to know what it's like to be pressed by Liverpool's front three, they can load the pressing into the data system, and you can experience it at real speed from all areas of the pitch. So, in other words, you can play a football match and know what to expect.
Virtual telling.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah,
it's like we were trying to do all those years ago, 20 years ago, when
let me get this straight. So the soccer box are in place there to show you how to play against a certain opponent on telly.
Yes.
On
play
telly.
Against them.
Well, so you don't have... So on telly. Well, they show you the stuff on telly, well, or on a laptop or whatever device it is.
I'm guessing it's circular.
Yes.
So it's a 360 view about how you play.
I'm guessing.
Arsene Wenger says, the FIFA's chief of global football development, it's the next step for football, for players to understand what is going on in the brain of top players as well. This is the sort of research that you can do with the stats that become available from the soccer bot. So that was just as an aside. I didn't know you planned to take us that way.
No, I know I didn't. But that there is, it sounds to me like, I get the heart about, part about, we talked about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and we talked about that, where virtual TV, you could have a corner. You can put it on your virtual floor.
Well, virtual heading now.
Virtual floor.
Is,
and you can stand there and show, right, this is where you should have been stood, and you can walk round and in and out and all that. But I'm not sure what you learn from this.
Well, it's virtually the same. And virtual heading now. Tony Cascarino writing today in his column, talking about, and next week, by the way, we'll be talking to Dr. Willie Stewart, who's a specialist in this.
Willie's
brilliant.
Top man.
Virtual reality has made me think the art of heading can survive, says Tony, because he's learning to, or he's using the technology here of virtual football.
I've tried it.
You tried one of the embryonic ones, did you not?
I'm sorry.
Early on when you couldn't hear, you couldn't feel a touch.
Couldn't feel a thing.
No. Well, they've added that now. You can hear and feel the ball hitting your head.
Because I did it with Peter Reid, honestly.
Well.
You should have seen Reid.
He was not having it.
We went and put these masks VR.
Yeah,
the VR night. And the guy was trying to push it with me. And I said, I'll take Reedy down. And you put them on. It's the weirdest thing ever. Uh-huh. So we've got this football. There's a goal in front of us and people are feeding balls out to you. Well, they aren't, but they are. So I'll put it on first. And it's weird. I mean, I never come to terms with it at all for about 10 minutes. But Reedy just kept falling all over the place and doing everything. He couldn't get it at all.
Where's the fucking ball? Where is it? Fucking get it.
Just one. But I just found it strange. Richard says they've added it, but there was no... When the ball was fed out to you, you could see it coming to you, and you put your foot out to control it, there was no feel.
Right?
Yeah, so see, now there is.
And that's what I thought about heading. So how do they...
Well,
if you're not heading the ball, what are they doing to your head?
We'll get Cass on and go.
Yeah, do you get the feeling of heading?
Is it just
because that's not what they want, right? You don't want to have the feeling.
It's the protection.
It's the protection,
but
yeah.
But you can still learn the art.
How?
The art of?
With the... I put it on, I'm just reading.
He's just a messenger. He's just a messenger.
I've got a football question for you.
Yeah, tell me.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're very well placed. You have impeccable sources.
Yes.
So if anybody knows the answer, it will be you.
Could be good.
Why won't Pep Guardiola play Raheem Sterling?
That's a good question.
I know.
That's a very
now
good
we need
question.
A good answer.
Because they're falling out, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Nigel's well placed. He should be able to tell us that.
I'm as baffled as you two are right now. No, I wish I could give you an answer. Yeah, definitely. But, I've been asking the same question to my people as well at City, because when you look at his stats, and especially look at his time at City, he's been one of the best players in the last, 5 years?
Player that Guardiola has started more often during his time there, but he's only had one league start this season. And plainly there is an issue.
Yeah. Plainly.
As there was with Aguero and Guardiola earlier.
Oh, there is. There is.
But
maybe Jack Grealish is the issue.
You think Grealish is better than Sterling?
Well, I listen, it's apples and pears. Would you prefer apples and oranges? There's no great difference to me. But what there is there's 100 million being spent on Jack Grealish to play where Raheem Sterling plays, right? Mm-hmm. Left side, Raheem plays
Play Sterling through the middle.
You can do, but do you get your best from Raheem Sterling?
No, but he's better than they have been playing through the middle, isn't he?
So what I'm saying is, if they've spent 100 million and we hear today that Raheem's saying, well, listen, if I don't get any game time, I'm off.
Quite right.
And I want to go anyway, pretty much, he's saying. If I get an offer, I'm excited about the future. I'm going to go. I want to test myself. Maybe he's just said, okay, I've got Grealish, he can play there. I've got Foden, he can play there. I've got Mahrez, he can play wide. They've got plenty of players, Ferran Torres, who can play wide. I've got plenty there.
You've actually
if
got...
We want to get, if we can get 100 million back for Sterling, then maybe he should move on. I don't know. I think he'll walk, you see.
I don't think he'll do any... And that led me to thinking in the week that the subject we've discussed often down the years, the abolition of transfer fees. Barcelona and Real Madrid now are living in a different world. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at players whose contracts are running down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And saying, we'll take him. I mean, my favourite centre-back at Chelsea, whose contract runs out in the summer, will have a...
Rudiger.
We'll have a choice of many, many different clubs.
Sterling's contract's up this year,
Sterling's contract, not this year. I think he's got 18 months. I think I'm right in saying.
But he can sign a pre-contract.
What you can do is you can...
Or loan deal with the option to buy.
Yeah. So I think those two big clubs are going to be moving into an era and taking us to a place where transfer fees become less significant. Yeah. And then you pick up real talent.
Yes.
And Sterling would be one of those.
Then as a player, you choose the club. Not for the money, but choose for the history and also for the technique.
No, I nearly fell off my chair as well. Keys
what?
There.
No. you what?
Not for the money.
Money is money. But I'm just saying for the love of the club.
If you can go
to Barcelona and Real Madrid, right? Well, and you have the option to go to United, Arsenal. Which one would you choose?
Right now, yeah. I would go Barcelona or Real Madrid and I'd say to them, build a team around me.
So, take the money away. So you go for what?
No, because I'm leaving on a free and I'm going to make a fortune.
But where are you going? I know, but take the money. You can have the exact...
But if Real Madrid were offering twice as much as Barcelona...
Well, you see, I'm a big Real Madrid fan.
So why do you do it then? Why do you do it?
I can't wait for all the ones who love Newcastle in the next year to sign for them. For the love of the club and not for the money.
That's a different kind of situation.
Oh, is it really?
Because they have money. No, because they have money. Barcelona and Madrid, they don't have money. So when they're knocking your door now,
they have enough.
They haven't got 100 mil to spend, but they've got 100 mil to pay a player.
No, but that's what I try to say. So if you take the money out of the equation and you want to have to make a decision just based on the club, on the history and the love of the club, which one would you choose? You say Real Madrid for a reason, right? Because you love Real Madrid. If you're free.
No, he doesn't love him that much.
No, but if you're free, you have the option to go to any other club.
If I'm free and I've got a choice between Real, Barcelona, Manchester United, and who's the other one you said? Chelsea?
Arsenal, Chelsea.
No, forget Arsenal.
I am going to the one I feel most comfortable in. I think that's more...
You go
Madrid.
The money would be a factor.
Well, how close are we then? Are we to players not signing five-year deals? If we're talking about that lack of transfer, how close are we to players then saying, you know, like Raheem Sterling, like the top players saying, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sign a 2-year deal, and I'm happy to renegotiate.
Oh, I think that's coming, Andy.
But then that gives me the flexibility as a footballer, every 2 years to say,
I think
I'm moving on.
Rather than
saying a 6-7 year deal.
Absolutely. I mean, Kane got caught by signing a long term deal. Mm-hmm. He thought he got an agreement whereby he could walk away last summer. Well, it turns out he didn't. And it's the same agreement Daniel Levy will ignore if there was one next summer. But no, I think that's the world we're moving to. And I think the player... And by the way, I don't think it's a bad thing because actually, although you're still going to need an agent and he's still going to want to get paid, I think there's less chance that those boys are going to be making the significant sums they are now if 100 mil isn't being exchanged
confident in your own ability, and let's say there's no transfer fee, like Raheem Sterling, why would Raheem go to Real Madrid and sign more than a 2-year deal? Look at Gareth Bale. I mean, yes, he's getting paid fortunes, right?
Gareth Bale. Yeah. Oh, Gareth Bale, yes.
Yeah, you remember him.
I thought you meant Gareth Barry.
There's Gareth Bale and I locked in a big contract. Brilliant. Fantastic for him. If you want to sit in your backside and play golf and don't play football, that's fine. But if you're Raheem Sterling now and say Real Madrid come in, why would you sign any more than a 2-year deal?
You wouldn't.
To renegotiate in 2 years' time?
I would sign a 3-4 years deal easily. I mean, when you go from City to Real Madrid, I think Real Madrid is the pinnacle for every football player in the world.
The moment isn't nice.
No, it will. As we said many times, Real Madrid will never go bankrupt, first of all, and they will never leave the biggest podium in world football. So it will always be a dominant figure.
You watch this January.
If I had the chance to sign a four-year deal, I'll sign it like this. with my eyes closed.
No, hold on. See, I'm with Andy. Why not sign a 2-year? Mbappe signs in January. Why not say it's a 2-year deal because you're getting nothing anyway?
Because Madrid is not going to do that. Madrid is not going to allow him to sign a 2-year deal. They're going to give him enough money. Yeah.
He'll get enough money over 2 years. Mbappe doesn't have to worry about his future.
You know, this has been so good. I think I'm going to listen to this back.
No, but if he's as good as we think he is, and he's as good as Real Madrid, why would Real Madrid be worried? If we're such a big club, we know we've got the best player in the world, let's say. Potentially the best mm-hmm. player in the world. Okay, he wants to sign a 2-year, 3-year max, he says. Let me say he goes in there and says, okay, I'll give you 2 years, then we can renegotiate on my last year. That's a 3-year deal. I'm signing a 3-year deal for you. So Real Madrid going to say, well, at the risk of losing him to Barcelona or others, no, unless you sign a 6-year deal, the deal's off. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so, Nige. I don't think they're going to cut their nose to spite their face.
No. I understand. But
if they're paying $200 million for him, mm-hmm. I get you.
They want to get an amount of transfer feedback. Yeah, I would like to continue
this conversation. And this is, I think, one of the strengths of the podcast. We've got three people sitting around here that do enjoy football. Although Benjamin White might not, Andy.
Well, I've got news for Benjamin White. I'll be watching 10 games this weekend.
One thing before we introduce our guest, I would like to say, I would like to mark Steve Bruce's 1,000th game as a manager. At this point, he's still in charge of Newcastle. But I think that he deserves great credit for the manner in which he has managed at Newcastle United through some very adverse times. I think Steve is a gentleman. I think he deserves the opportunity to take charge on this occasion, if it is indeed the case that he does on Sunday. He is taking the press conference today, Friday. I think he's an honourable man and deserves better treatment than that which he has had in the North East. He cares deeply about that football club.
Of course he does.
He will not be the man to take them forward, but I think that Geordies should thank him.
No chance.
No, but they should thank him for everything he's done, not just keeping them in the league, but steering them through a very, very difficult period of time.
Yeah, agreed.
So having said that, good luck to you, Steve. No, 1,000 is a remarkable number.
Sensational. It's unbelievable.
Well done, Stevie Boy.
Fantastic. But unfortunately, the football world is not like that.
Yeah. No, listen, if somebody was offering me 8 mil to walk away, I think it would soften the blow.
I'd said to you for the last 6 months, why is he staying there? I've got no idea why he puts up with all that shit. Sorry, that every stuff he gets.
You know, there's a big difference in walking away and getting sacked.
Yes, exactly.
You know that, right?
So I said, then when that comes out, there's a potential 8 mil. Well, I think I might have taken this stick for a few.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yeah, go on.
I'm really looking forward to this. He's become a good friend of yours, I think, in recent weeks and months. As a footballer, again, I would speak in exactly the same terms as I just did about Brucey as a coach. Absolute top class, and any dressing room would want him.
Oh, as far as Premier Leagues go, or the Premier League goes, as good as there's been in his position.
Oh, yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this
morning. Terry and Adams, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think he's as good as we've seen that position.
If you have to make a team of the last decade, do you think he will be in it?
Yes, he'd be in my team.
Yeah. Centre-back-wise?
Yeah.
I think he'd be in mine, yeah.
He'd go very woke, Nigel.
Very football.
Yeah.
Like football. John Stones and people like that. Yeah, that kind of
Vinny
player.
And yeah. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
Do we still have time on this podcast to discuss that? Don't test me. Do not test me. Miss the keys. Do not test me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
John Terry, how are you? May I have the first question?
Go on.
Are you in your kit?
What a belter. John, where have you gone? John, come back, JT.
Well, I didn't want you to feel as though you got to get dressed up to talk to us. I want you to relax and just have a little fun.
Listen,
with
you
us.
Know me, I don't hold back. I've got my shin pads, I've got the armband on, don't worry about me.
By the way, he's more likely to have his golf gear on these days than anything else.
Yes, apparently so, yes. Yes. Nigel, can I introduce you to John Terry?
Yes, of course you can. I mean, there was no introduction in place, to be honest. We've been battling some good games between us, you know, in the time. That
you played against JT?
Of course, many times.
Did you?
Of course he did.
Yes.
What do you think he did?
Of course, well, John...
Why wouldn't he have done?
John played against me.
Let me ask the second question of the day. What is the difference between a 5, which you were, John, and a 5.5, which what? Nigel de Jong was?
Watch out what you were saying. Watch out what you're saying, John.
Nigel's
right now.
10 yards high.
He's getting chirpy. He's getting chirpy already early, early doors. Yeah, very early doors.
Well, you were a 5, and you were a water carrier. You were a 5.5.
Are you really want to go there?
No, we don't.
I really want to go there. Even though I'm retired, I can still 2 foot you here from about a yard.
Yeah. Sorry, John, I'm feeling very chirpy.
No problem. So nice. Just put the trophies on the table.
Exactly. Oh,
and
exactly.
By the way, we haven't got big enough table for yours, JT, to be fair. This table's only 6x10, John. We'll not get them all on.
Now we need to get down to some proper conversation. Yeah. But no, I don't think we want to go into areas of controversy.
Can I just ask before we go into areas of controversy?
Yes.
How is the golf? And how was Wentworth yesterday?
Very good, and I'm just on my way back there now.
Oh yeah. what did you shoot yesterday, John?
I was six over yesterday, so six over was disappointing.
Yeah, he's a golfer. He's a proper golfer.
He's a golfer. I've seen him. Yeah.
Isn't it extraordinary how professional footballers replace the adrenaline of what they did for a business with golf?
It is.
So
it is.
Many.
You know what John is as well? A lefty, same as you.
Is he?
Aye.
Oh, good. Yeah, of course he would. Yeah.
He's a lefty.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we play better golf.
Are you a lefty as well?
Yes.
No. Yeah, there's a difference, John. You can play golf, he can.
So I think we've set the tone. So we don't want to spoil it in any way. Right. So how close were you to joining Manchester City?
Wow, we're off. We're in. It was...
Okay, then.
Now, I didn't expect you to answer that either, John. It was...
I was just about to go into it.
Fine, carry on then.
I was just thinking, I'm joking. Now listen, Man City made an offer for me. I made it very, very clear to Chelsea I didn't want to go anywhere. If they see it differently and wanted to take the money, then I'd have to accept their decision. But I made it very clear to Chelsea and ended up signing a new contract at Chelsea to show my commitment to the club. So
quite right.
Man City were very keen at the time. I think they was looking for the leader. Mm. And by the way, they didn't do bad when they didn't get me. They went and got Vincent Kompany, who turned out to be an incredible signing. Yeah, so it turned out well for both clubs. I never wanted to go, and they got the man they probably wanted as well.
Yes, he should be. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, he's a Chelsea legend. So
very much
it was only right for him to... to stay at Chelsea. But I mean, the negotiations would be better, though. I mean,
yeah, but you boys were weaseling about. You were trying hard, weren't you?
Trying hard.
Yeah.
To
upset another top professional, yeah, Manchester City, yes.
You always have to try. If you want to be
John, what age were you then when they came in for you? What age was it then? What age were you?
I think I was about 28, 29.
Okay.
Well, that would have been a nice payday. Yeah.
That would have been 10 years already there at Chelsea, obviously, a plus.
You don't have to worry about his payday. He's only about his bank account.
Many years ago, John, and I don't want this to be a regret for you, but many, many years ago, when you went out on loan to Forest, I had said to everybody at Coventry, let me finish.
Okay.
There's a terrific kid that we need to go and have a look at and should get into now. Sadly, your career took you in a different direction, but you could have, it's only a hint, but could have been wearing the sky blue rather than dark blue.
Yeah, you said sadly. No, fortunately for John, his career went a different
way. I was about to say, and the second question would be, what kind of position did you have at Coventry City at the time?
Director of football,
apart from being a journalist.
I was an unpaid specialist.
Specialist, yeah. Right. Good thing they
by
never
the way,
listen
John,
to you.
John, we were talking, well, we did phone up, we talked to you, but listen, looks like we're talking to Keezy for the next 20 minutes.
It's unbelievable. So,
but how's retirement now that you've stepped away from the game, you've stepped away from Villa, you're now waking up in the morning, how's that feeling?
Yeah, you know, it was a decision for me going since the age of 16, really. I kind of been away, I moved away from home, was in digs, that kind of thing. Obviously, I had my 22 years at Chelsea. I then had 4 years at Villa, one playing, three at coaching. And I was literally leaving at like 5 o'clock in the morning to kind of drive up to Birmingham, getting back late, you know, as a coach. Yeah. The hours are a lot longer than they are as a player. And this year, like my kids are 15, I've got twins, and it's their final year at school, so it's a GCSE year. So I just made a promise to them that, you know what, I'm going to come away, I'm going to spend a bit of time with them. Even this morning, just being able to take my daughter to school this morning, just having conversations with her, helping her with her homework, and just being a dad, which I've never been able to do. I've always been controlled by someone telling me, I've got to be here, I've got to be there at this time, I'm in a hotel, I miss the kids' sports. So all of them things as a dad, I've really missed out. Like, I missed the birth of my kids because I was playing football. Like, I'll never get those moments back, and it was just a decision, like a family decision, that we're going to spend a lot more time together this year and just be around a little bit, and in no real rush to kind of go into anything, because naturally, like, I miss it, of course. I want to be involved in football. It's all I know, really. But I just need to be very, very careful what kind of job, what opportunity I do take moving forward.
You do. I think the test of that, John, and being away from the family, was when your daughter said to your to your missus today, who's the new driver then today, Mum?
Well, like all things as well, it starts well, doesn't it? Then you have a couple of arguments with the kids on the way to school. You've not had your homework.
I understood and got all of that, John. But the thing that confused me was when you said helping with the homework. Really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't buy John. They have no clue what we're talking about. In a different generation, trust me. It's a different generation right now. You know what I mean?
Right. I want to take you back. European Champions League night. Mm-hmm. And I can say this. And
which one?
Hold on. We can discuss openly, because he was with us when, for the first time ever, he admitted that he was in the kit basket.
Right.
Jose. Yeah, Jose. And actually, John, I think he did it because he was unsure he was actually on air, because he went on to swear, which sent everybody this end into meltdown when he did it. But what was that night like? Yeah. The extraordinary arrival of Jose in the kit, the departure of Jose in the kit, and a huge game that he had to manage from within the dressing room without being discovered.
Yeah, it was bizarre, but Jose being Jose, it was always going to happen, wasn't it? You know, when we played Germany away, I think it was, he was in the hotel, but we had like a speaker system he put in the middle of the dressing room. And he's like, listen, I'm just watching it in my hotel room. And it was like, I don't know, when he spoke, everyone just listened. But then obviously the home game, we knew he was going to pop out. We knew he was going to be in before the game. But the funny story is as well, he's kind of like from Chelsea, to get off the van, the kit van, to then get up the stairs and through to the dressing room, it's quite a long way. So you're in this little box with loads of kit, and he was struggling. He like jumped out. Now listen, he jumped out still looking $1 million, but he was thinking like, I need to get out of this kit bin. But listen, he popped out, he spoke, and it was just funny. But at the same time, we were in like a quarter final of the Champions League. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he must be feeling like he was part of a mafia movie. You know, like sitting in a box somewhere, yeah. Going to be dragged somewhere.
He told us, John, on the way out. What was the name of the kit man?
Was it Mick Roberts at the time or Gary Gray?
I think it was Gary.
Gary, I think it was Gary.
He told
Gary
us on the way
that.
Out.
Yeah.
On the way out, they left the lid partially open.
Yeah, to get
so he
out.
Could breathe. And then the kit man saw a UEFA official and slammed it shut. I was in there. It's at that point that he swore when he was telling the story.
Fantastic.
I'm dying, man. Was he an easy man to love, but equally dislike?
No, like the dislike side for me, not at all. It was someone that you love, you completely kind of, like, even still now, if I see him now, I get, so when Villa played, he was at Spurs, so when Villa played Spurs, I was just about to see him, and Dean Smith went to me, are you all right? I went, no, I'm really nervous, he makes me nervous.
he's like, yeah.
you just feel like you always want to impress him, you know, he was like, just small bits. Listen, if you've been involved in football like you guys have, you'd be at home like watching TV and he'd message you and you'd go, listen, you're my best centre back, you're the best centre back in the world. And I'd be sitting there with my wife and it'd be like, oh my God, like he makes me feel like I'd literally die for him, you know. But you get in the following morning and he'd walk straight past you at breakfast, you go, shit. Let me look at them text messages. Have I upset them or?
But they weren't meant for me.
Ricardo.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Now that's I hear these stories, you know, for many other players. One of the best stories as well, or storytelling as well, as from Wesley Sneijder. Wesley Sneijder played with him under him at Inter Milan, and he said the same thing. He's just like a father figure. You know, I mean, some of the managers, they feel like it's a father figure. You go through fire for them. And that's exactly what John said as well. So, John, let me ask you a question real quick. Do you think because you had the spell under Jose Mourinho, you took his qualities under your own belt and just tried to improve from that?
As a coach, you mean?
As a coach, yeah.
Yeah, as a coach, definitely. I mean, when he first came in, it was like the managers that I had previous to that, and no disrespect to them, it was like training would be at 10:30. They'd go outside at 10 o'clock. I was always the first one in it as captain. I'd drop the kids at school and I'd go straight in. So I'd been at 8:15. He was already out there, whether it was raining, snowing, he'd be out there with his staff kind of laying out the cones, pacing it out, making sure that there was water, the bibs were in place. So you went from one section of the training to the other. It was like the most intense 60-minute session you'd ever done, but it was never, it was like, right, finish one, have a drink, pick your bib up, these are the teams, move on. And it was so well organised and structured. And it's like that side of it, like the depth and the detail that it went into to make sure it was right for the players. Because, Nigel, you know, if you do a simple box and you do it too big or too small, it just kills it.
True.
You know,
true.
So getting those simple bits right for the players, you know, that... The line straight, the disc in a straight line. So if the ball goes out, the ball goes out. Mm. It's those kind of bits where as a player you get frustrated with, he don't allow that to happen because everything's so well organised, you know. So that side of it, listen, I could never be Mourinho and I don't ever want to try and be a manager that I've played under, but I can certainly take loads and loads of bits from him, Ancelotti, Ranieri, those kind of managers that I was fortunate to play under and kind of try and form a little bit of them with me as well.
Did you think... yourself, Frank, Ashley Cole, that Benitez was trying to frustrate you out of the club during his spell in charge?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. it's funny, I didn't get on with Rafa straight away when he came in. It was a bizarre one, and not saying he's a bad guy. Just, you know, when you just don't click with somebody, I'm thinking... And then my issue was that when he came to Chelsea, it was like we was in team meetings before games, and he'd be like, when we was at Liverpool, we done this. And, and I had to pull him up. I was Gaffer, listen, you're at Chelsea now. Like, forget Liverpool. And also, the rivalry was so intense as well. the last thing I wanted to hear was the anything or everything about Liverpool. I mean, I see a quote from Denver Barr recently. We played, he obviously dropped me. I didn't play under Rafa. But we lost to Man City away in the Cup, and we lost 2-1. He came in after, and he was like, "Oh, guys, listen, don't worry. There's always another game." And I was like, I was frustrated at the time, but I just went mad. I was like,
"Good,
I'm not having that." Like, yeah. At Chelsea, it's not all right. It's not okay to just lose a game and be all right with it. You know, it's like, and we just had it in front of the players, and the players were saying stop, and he was kind of going at me, and I was going at him. And listen, he's obviously proven to be a good coach at the time, but we just didn't get on at all.
No, but I thought he came with an agenda, and that was to see you, Frank, and Ashley Cole.
He did his best, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a good go at it, didn't he?
He did try very hard.
So I'm guessing, John, when his time there was a short one, you weren't that disappointed when he left?
No, not at all, no.
Who would you say, next to Jose, was most critical in that spell of success?
Was most critical or crucial?
Well, yeah, crucial.
Yeah, I would say Ancelotti, actually.
Good.
So Carlo was an unbelievable manager, and probably the best man manager I've come across in the game. So to talk about all the great things that Mourinho has, you could say that he'd be happy to pick a fight with you, or he'd be happy to kind of have that you know, or feel uneasy.
Yeah.
Whereas Carlo was the complete opposite. You know, as a group of players, we'd go for dinner with Carlo. After games, he'd come at the back of the bus with like a bottle of red wine and give the lads a glass of red, and he'd sit there with us and like talk about the game.
To get the fags, you know, out. Did he get the fags out, George? He got lads. Come on, who's having the fag?
Yeah.
He did. I won't name the players that were having the fags with him, but yeah, he did.
surely during half time as well. I mean, he's well known of that.
I have to admit, I only see it after the game, to be honest. But it's those kind of bits where you go, everyone after games now does a debrief where it's like a 20-30 minute meeting on the game, and those, he'd literally come down, him and Ray was unbelievable as well.
Yeah,
there'd be a bottle of wine, there'd be cigarettes, and we're not talking we're getting drunk, we'd have one glass of red, and he'd go, "You've got to do better with that," or listen, you know, we'd talk about the game, the game would be on the video on the bus on the way home, and that would be our debrief.
Yeah.
But it was done in such a good manner, and the respect the players had for him, it worked so well. And if I could be like anyone from the man management side, Carlo would be the very best.
Nice.
That's good.
So I just on that same subject, so many changes, and really it flew in the face of what we have, all of us, been told football needs, which is stability.
Yeah.
Whilst Wenger was at Ferguson, Arsenal for
Ferguson,
10 years,
a Wenger.
Yeah, won nothing. Chelsea were winning something every year with Di Matteo 6 months. Do you look back now, and are you pleased that there were so many changes and you got to know so many different characters, or would it have been better to stay with one?
If I'm honest, I think management can be a little bit stale after 3-4 years, Nate.
Yeah.
Just knowing the players and knowing like different ideas and different training sessions and those kind of bits. Unless you've got a manager that really wants to evolve and kind of mix things up and change the sessions on a yearly basis, that not many of them do either. A lot of people kind of get success and then go, "This is me," and kind of stick with it.
Mm.
And kind of, you know, it probably kills them in the future. But listen, I was lucky that we went through so many managers at Chelsea. From a selfish point of view, now ideally I would have loved Mourinho to stay a little bit longer, of course, because I just felt we was untouchable under him. But obviously, for on the flip side of that, very fortunate to kind of see and experience different managers. But I think as well, it just made the players realise well that actually, as soon as one manager left, if you're a player that's not playing, all of a sudden that competition. Mm. I did notice the training go, actually, I'm back here. I might have a chance in this team under this manager, which proved completely true as well. And we see it sometimes where a player's in the dark and a new manager comes in, you go, "Where's he been for the last 6 months?"
Yeah.
You know, but you've got that window of opportunity, a fresh set of eyes of going, "Okay, show me what you're about." And the level of training goes up. Everyone wants to impress the new manager, the new staff, and the new players. And I think that was the key to us at Chelsea of going, with what Roman done and brought in new players on a yearly basis, it made the current players that were there want to improve and want to be better every single year. And we had it, talking about Mourinho, we had it, me and Gaz Kao had it. We'd won the league. We come back first day of pre-season the following year. And Mourinho put on a possession, playing out from the back. Me and Gaz kept giving the ball away. This is the first day. Fabregas is there. Diego Costa's there. We've just signed all these new players as well. And we're there. And he stopped the session. And I won't tell you what he said, but he was swearing. And he said, see you two. You two be out the door. I'll go and sign Varane. He's better than you two. I'll go and sign this player. And me and Gaz are looking at each other going, oh my God, we've won the league last year. But what a kick up the backside. And me, for the rest of the session, all me and Gaz done was kick the life out of everyone, right? And session, like first day of pre-season, the session's meant to be really like ease your way in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this session was like tackles flying in, people arguing, people squaring up to each other. And at the end of it, he come and put his arm around me and Gaz and went, that's why you're my centre-back and you're my captain and vice captain.
That is fantastic management. I think if any young managers listening to this podcast and hearing these kind of stories, they know it's not always about tactic. You know, it's man management. Yeah. It's about knowing your players. No, it's knowing about how they are as a character as well. And knowing what you need to say to them in order to
especially
get the best
the
out
right
of them.
Buttons,
it's unbelievable. That's why I love man managers. You know, like my best manager is always the man managers who know what kind of character you have and know how to trigger that.
John, we are going to be courteous and allow you to go because I know you've got a tea time.
What's your tea time? When are you off?
No, I'm 10 o'clock, but I'm going to have 45 minutes on the range.
Shut up. Yeah, don't go on the range.
Oh, wow.
By the way, you see, just be careful, John. I'm sure you've played Wentworth enough times. Now, you don't hit it at the first down into the dip, do you, and give yourself that downhill lie with the approach?
No,
or do you lay it back on top of it?
On top. He lays it on top.
I always lay mine back, not intentionally.
I lay it back on top, unfortunately, but that's why I'm spending 45 minutes on the range trying to get the 20 yards.
John, it's been brilliant. Thank you. Really, really kind of you. Have a lovely day. And
pleasure, guys.
See you, John.
Good luck at home as well. Enjoy that.
Hopefully we'll see you here in Qatar in no too distant future, one hopes. Eh?
Yeah, especially when the World Cup is around.
I'm over in about 10 days, I think, so hopefully I'll catch up with you guys then.
We'll find
that would be great. We'll make sure we see you, John.
And we'll play around the golf.
Very good. He's my partner. John's my partner. I've seen him play.
No worries. All good.
Have a good day, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks again.
Thanks, mate.
Nice. Keith, Andy. Thanks very much.
Cheers,
guys.
Thanks,
good
mate.
Luck.
See you later.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Brilliant. I mean, what a good guy. And
great.
The more opportunity. I wish he'd come out more when he was playing, but I understand why players don't.
Yeah.
I get it, but in a world of 24/7 media interest, and you must have been through it. You're in the dressing room. There's a television, and you're on it every hour.
Oh,
and
yeah,
news service talking the same nonsense. Your teammates
wouldn't accept that as well, and they wouldn't respect you in the sense of that if you had your face on television every week, you know. But it's also protection. Like I remember, I was quite a private person. I never was in the media. I was never doing interviews loads of times. I just picked the right moments when I did the interview when there was controversy
it's easier
or
for
whatever.
Because like
so
Cantona
I can.
Sorry, I have no. I say it's easier for you boys. Cantona when he came, sorry, I have no English.
No English.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Well, he did when I did a boot room with him for half an hour. He spoke perfect English.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
No, but I understand.
It's
an excuse, but it's not really an excuse. It's also to keep yourself private in the sense of, like, you know, because you get asked so much as a football player, you know, in the world of football, because you're 24/7 in the picture. So sometimes you just want to have your privacy, not always be on the television, not always, you know, want to hear your opinion out there. So it is something that to protect.
Well, I hope JT.
I hope he comes back into the game because like,
I agree.
He's one of those that I think he's had a taster there. He's had a little apprenticeship at Villa as an assistant to Dean Smith, and now he's taking a bit of back seat, and that's great. You know, because he had, what would you say? What did he say? 22 years at Chelsea.
22 years.
Wow.
At Chelsea, yeah.
So he's having a little break, playing his golf, loving life.
Sabbatical year.
Great.
Sabbatical year.
But I hope he comes in because so many of the modern day players don't have to. You know, John's rich enough not to work again.
For a long time, we're giving our game up to school teachers.
And we shouldn't. Get it back, boys. Come on. Come on, JT, we want you back
next week, we will be talking to Dr. Willie Stewart. We like to have a chuckle, as we have done this week, but there are also some very serious matters associated with football. Dementia and concussion, that is, and it's very current. Dr. Willie is one of the leading experts in that area, Andy. I know the subject always has you twitching, but it is something that needs to be spoken of. And this time next week, we will in conversation.
Yeah, look forward to it.
And take our thoughts in a different direction.
Yeah.
DJ, thank you.
As always, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
Here we go again.
See you next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.